You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Tom Michael, sitting in for Gemma Gaudette. Idaho allows for people to write legally binding living wills. That's an advanced directive that dictates a person's wishes should they find themselves with a terminal illness or in a vegetative state. But those directives become invalid if a woman becomes pregnant. Four Idaho women are now challenging that law, including Chelsea Gayona Lincoln of Caldwell. She joins us in the studio now. Chelsea, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Chelsea, we touched on this earlier in the program. Betsy Russell did some reporting on it. So can you explain to us the law as it currently stands?
Well, I will do my best. I'm certainly no legal expert. But the law as it stands right now is that anybody can create a health directive in Idaho if they were to become terminally ill or incapacitated or unresponsive. But as soon as you are a person who becomes pregnant, it is no longer being honored or valid.
So you currently are pregnant with your first child. I heard July 12th is the due date. Congratulations.
It is. Yes, we're very excited. Thank you.
And in speaking with the Idaho Statesman, you said, quote, "If I get a terminal illness during this time, during this pregnancy, I do not want the state interfering in my family's end-of-life care decisions." So specifically, what decisions can you make that the state would interfere with?
Well, as far as if something were unfortunately to happen that was traumatic, I spend a lot of time on the road driving between New Plymouth and Boise every single day. So I always think about what if car accidents happen. If something were to happen and I was no longer able to give any sort of verbal consent, my wishes that I have expressed in a legal health directive would not be honored. And that could either be either direction, either keeping me on life-sustaining support or taking me off of it. Whatever I've expressed legally in that document or to my spouse would no longer be honored at all. It's just void. Any of my wishes are just not important to the state as of right now, the way the law sits.
Well, we heard in the earlier segment Betsy Russell talking about the state of Connecticut, and they recently overturned a similar law. I imagine you did some research with your other plaintiffs on this. Can you talk about the efforts that brought that decision down?
Well, I don't know all the particulars about that, but we do know that it dropped off the list as far as being in alignment with Idaho's law, that the governor signed a bill that changes advanced directives to permit people to indicate their health care preferences when they aren't pregnant, which is not something that I have the ability to do here in Idaho.
We're speaking with Chelsea Gayona Lincoln. She is a plaintiff in a suit filed in federal court by four Idaho women against Secretary of State Lawrence Denny, Attorney General Lawrence Wasten, and Health and Welfare Director Russ Barron. And we'd like to hear from you. You can communicate with us via email at idahomatters@boisestate.edu, on Twitter at KBSX915 with the hashtag Idaho Matters, or on our Facebook page at Boise State Public Radio. Okay, so let's understand what might be the reasons the state offers maintaining this law as it currently stands. Do you think it's a right-to-life issue in their eyes?
You know, it's difficult to say. I don't know what brought this law about personally. Like I said, I'm not a legal expert by any means. But being somebody that has worked with legislatures on both sides of the aisle, I would like to give them the benefit of the doubt in thinking that this was probably something that was well-intended and possibly just not very thoughtful about the impacts that it could have on people who are pregnant at the time.
So I've observed in my own family that there are many moments during medical procedures where doctors and nurses will come in and ask a female patient time after time, "Are you pregnant? Are you pregnant?" Mm-hmm. You know, some, as you explained, may find this invasive. Others might find this assuring.
Certainly. I mean, I can certainly attest to being in the care of medical providers and them wanting to make sure that there's not a possibility of me being pregnant. And now, because I've been made aware of this existing law, I am certainly more sensitive to it now that I know how it exists and how it's playing into people's lives and impacting their right to have end-of-life decision choices.
Well, it's clear that you'd like to see this policy overturned. Are there any other codes on the Idaho law book that you feel unjustly impact pregnant women in Idaho? Or in general, how can the rights of pregnant women be improved in Idaho?
Well, I think this is a great start and a great initiative, especially an important part of the conversation. While we may be unraveling and overturning and seeing other laws that are problematic and harmfully impactful to pregnant people, I think this is a great start by respecting a person's autonomy over their body and respecting a person's end-of-life decisions, especially in a situation where they may be already going through something tragic and not putting that burden on them and on their families that are left as survivors. So I think this is a great start.
You said earlier you're not a legal expert, but within the wording of the law, it indicates pregnancy may even impair a woman's judgment. Could you unpack that for us?
Well, I'm certainly not, like I said, a legal expert, but I think that folks are constitutionally allowed to make decisions about their health care and not allowing a person who is pregnant to do the same thing just because of that condition certainly doesn't sound fair to me. It sounds, against what would be my constitutional right, that suddenly I'm treated differently just because I'm pregnant. When I went through and did my health directive, everything was very much so at length explained to me. All the details, all the options, all the choices, every single viable option that would be allowed at the time if that were to happen to me, right along to who the decisions are passed on to if we didn't cover some sort of thing. So I feel like they did their due diligence in making sure I understood all the options.
Were you pregnant when you filled out that directive?
I was. It was much earlier in my pregnancy. And it was something that I went over with my spouse, and then I also went over it with my parents because they are the next to make the decision in the event that my spouse and I were in an accident together.
So this is a discussion in some ways about local control, personal local control, and also it was a family decision about end-of-life living will.
It was, because making sure that those wishes have been expressed, because I want to make sure that not only has it been acknowledged legally, but expressed to the people who I care about and who I know care about me. I was actually able to file it with the Secretary of State, and now I carry around this handy-dandy little ID card that actually has a little scanner code on there if something were to happen to me, that they could pull it right up immediately and see what my wishes are, even though as of right now it's not valid.
So I'm sorry, that's a card that you carry, and she's pulling it out
it's
of her
ID card, actually. It's an
purse
ID card
now, and it's something that emergency workers could scan and find out what your living will or advance directive was. It's a health care directive. It has your name, password, and it's issued by the Secretary of State.
It is. So as soon as they scan that, it comes up so they can actually see what my health directive legally is. And it's just unfortunate that as of right now, it would not be honored.
We're talking with Chelsea Gayona Lincoln. She's in Caldwell, and she joined three other Idaho women challenging the law, advance directive that dictates a person's wishes should they find themselves with a terminal illness or in a vegetative state, and if they're pregnant. Are the other three plaintiffs, are any of them, have you discussed with them pregnancy issues? Are they pregnant? Or are they of childbearing age?
They all are of childbearing age. I do believe that one other hasn't recently announced her pregnancy. So that's very exciting. They are still in the early term. But I believe that's Hannah. So we're really excited for her. I haven't spoken to them directly except for kind of on our group chats.
We might have just broken some news on the radio here.
I love breaking news.
Chelsea, what do you think might happen? I know what you hope might happen, but what do you think are the next steps for this, for your group?
I'm hopeful that that the really humane and compassionate choice and common sense choice will kind of be the guidance for Idaho and how they're looking at this case. Like I said, I try to give it the benefit of the doubt that there was no ill intention, but now that someone is bringing up this harmful impact that could impact all sorts of people and their families. I'm sure some folks who have been close to situations like this, that they're going to see this is the right path forward and honor that and rule in our favor.
Chelsea Gayona Lincoln of Caldwell, one of four Idaho women challenging a law, and she is with us again. This law overturned in Connecticut. There's challenges in Texas. I imagine you're researching other states that are dealing with this issue.
I've been working pretty closely with Compassion and Choices and Legal Voice, and they're the ones who brought this to me, and I was allowed to participate and engage with them. So,
are they national groups?
I know that they are at least regional groups. I've only worked with them regionally, so I'm not sure if they're all of their work nationally, but they have been tremendously helpful. And what I've really appreciated most about them is them giving me just the entire story, both sides, both views, and really just allowing me to kind of make my decision. And then I was afforded the opportunity to kind of use my platform and the privileges that I am honored to have to kind of help with this event in this case.
Well, thank you for being in here, and thank you for sharing your story with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Chelsea Gaona-Lincoln, one of four plaintiffs in a federal suit brought against the state.